Well, in this world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. But I've learned to stop and say, okay, do I need to do anything differently? Because I've come to learn when you don't do that, and it's always somebody else's fault, you are not going to change. Yikes. Yikes. You mad at me already? At least wait till I'm almost done to get mad at me, okay? And so look at some of these foundations. So first one, being redeemed, you and I being purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We belong to him. Amen? Anybody here been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? There's songs about it. Redeemed, and oh, how I'd love to proclaim it. I know that's in a song. I can't tell you which one it is now, but I know that's in a song. Amen? And then being justified freely by his grace. Amen. As if I had never sinned in his sight. Come on now, that's too good to be true. But you know, when I started realizing some of these foundational gospel truths, it revolutionized my life to have confidence before him. Saints, our God wants us to have confidence before him. I learned that once I began to have confidence before him, I began to change. My life began to change quick. Because I knew that no matter what I struggled with after that, what was going on in my life, I knew he loved me, he was with me, because I loved him. But some of my behavior was like, well, this doesn't add up. But once I knew that I belonged to him and trusted him, then I allowed the time as he began to work out that salvation in me, work it out, as it began to be evident in my soul realm, in my soul realm. So today we're going to talk about the doctrine of sanctification. Can you say sanctification? That's just to keep you awake today. Sanctification. The Greek word for sanctification, hagiazo, H-A-G-I-A-Z-O, means to set aside to God for a special purpose, to be holy and pure, or pure, or holiness. In the Hebrew, it means to be clean, ceremonially or morally, to appoint, to consecrate, to dedicate, to be holy. And that sounds good. And see, I used to not understand sanctification. A matter of fact, because I understood it so little that when I was a young man, it's actually what drove me away from my confidence in walking with God for a couple generations. When I was 18, I got radically saved. God had done some powerful things in my life. And immediately, I went downtown and started telling people about Jesus. I just couldn't help it. I was leading people, friends of mine, to the Lord, people that were in that same lifestyle I was. And I mean, I'd see tears. People saying, man, I feel his presence. And so I began to bring all these people that were hooligans like me to church. To come on. God loves every type of person. So I began to bring them to church. I began to go downtown and tell them about God's love. But then all of a sudden I started struggling with things. I'm an 18-year-old boy, come out of a bad lifestyle. And all of a sudden I started struggling with my thought life. Other things of the flesh. And then all of, I don't know if it was because of just the way I believed or I was raised. All of a sudden I said, man, I can't be this way. I'm not acceptable to God. And it became such a lie lodged in my heart that I quit ministering to people. I quit doing the things that I was doing. And I actually pulled away from the Lord and said, until I get these areas of my life figured out or sanctified, I can't do this anymore. I spent a couple of 20 years not understanding what sanctification meant. Oh, if I'd known it back then. But you know, I was a prideful little booger too. It was hard for anybody to tell me anything. I already knew it. Well, you know how it is when you're 18, right? And so I'm spending time in prayer and the Word. I said, I've already got this figured out. And until I can get this sanctified or washed or cleansed, I can't do what I was doing. And because I believed a lie, a religious lie, I allowed a religious spirit, a demonic foe, a religious spirit, put ideals in my mind that became something that raised itself against the knowledge of God. And I was no longer effective, and I spent a lot of years trying to figure out how I could be pleasing to God. I'm glad that none of you have ever struggled with that. Maybe it's just me. And so as we talk about this today, so when we talk about sanctification, well, people say, well, grace just means that you can just live any way you want. No, that's not what grace does. That's not, matter of fact, until you understand grace, a revelation of God's love and grace for you, you won't have any confidence. See, the Word of God is not meant for such for you to just learn and put it on paper and follow it. The Word of God is meant to become life to you. It's meant to become real. It's meant to become revelation. You see, people will choke on revelation because they start thinking, well, of Ezekiel or the book of Daniel or somebody weird they know of what revelation is. That something that they have that nobody knows. No, revelation just means that the Word of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It just means that the Word of God, Jesus, makes that alive on the inside of you. And you say, I know what that means now. I own that. That belongs to me. I now understand His goodness and His grace and His love for me. Colossians 1:12 became life to me. And when that became life to me, it says that He, God, is the one who has qualified me. And I still remember where I was at. I remember the time, I remember what was going on when I read that scripture, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that He's the one who has qualified me. Not my behavior, because it just was never going to add up. And when that happened, my whole life changed. All those decades of struggling, loving the Lord God with all my heart, I loved Him, but I wasn't convinced that He loved me because of my struggle with my behaviors. And when I realized that I was qualified through the blood of the Lamb, I'm telling you what, I took off like a rocket. 20 years of pent-up condemnation came pouring out of me. For such a time as this, I don't know why it took so long. I was still a young man, 42, but it took several decades to understand justification. There's three different types we're going to talk about, the three different types of sanctification biblically. The three different types of sanctification found in the New Testament cover the believer forever from salvation to our home in heaven, hallelujah. You know, we are a three-part being, you know that, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. The three areas of sanctification cover each individual part and also cover three time periods of yours and I's existence. There are also three different sources at each type for each type of sanctification. So I'm going to give you these 3 points today. Amen. It's going to be simple. We should be out of here no later than noon. No. I just want to make sure if anybody was listening. Amen. You know, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, now may the God of peace Himself, who? Himself, sanctify you entirely. Wow. Listen to these scriptures today, saints. Listen to the Word of God, how He loves us. Let Him encourage you today. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will do it. He will do it. As we talk about it, He's the one that does the work. What do we do? We yield and keep humble before Him. Realize He's the one that justifies. He's the one that redeems. And He's the one that does sanctification work in you and I, saints. So this first one, numeral number one, I'll get it out. First is our positional sanctification. Can you say positional? 1 Peter 1:2-3. Now it says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood. Aren't you glad you've been sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb? May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Thank you, Lord, for grace and peace being multiplied to you. I said, grace and peace being multiplied to you. God loves multiplication. He removes my sins, every one of them, and He multiplies His grace and His peace to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If it sounds too good to be true, I get it. That sounds too good to be true. But I'm here to tell you, saints, multiplication of grace and peace is absolutely true. Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians, sanctification that was received. This is a sanctification that was received. Point number one, under numeral number one, sanctification that was received at the new birth is what? Eternal, instantaneous, and cannot be improved. When you were born again, saints, you were born again. See, the struggle that I had when I went back to when I was just a wee little lad with long, flowing hair, by the way. I remember like it yesterday. I remember those bad hair days. I'm sorry I mentioned that. I don't know why. See, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, this is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God, which is in Corinth. To those who have been, what? Sanctified in Christ Jesus. Saints by calling. Who, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Did you know the Corinthian church at all? Did it says right here, who have been sanctified. This thing of being born again, our position with the Lord. But then you start reading into 1 Corinthians and you would think, these people are sanctified? I mean, we've got somebody, you know the story, he's sleeping with us. A gentleman sleeping with his stepwife, and everybody in the church seems to be okay with it. We have like a church split, three people. We got a church following Paul. We got a church following Apollos. And we got a church following Peter. They're getting together and getting drunk. They're getting together and trying to show off who's more, who has approved of God by their spiritual gifts. So they're getting together and showing off. And we got somebody here who's saying, who has been sanctified, a body who's been sanctified. See, that messed with my mind when I didn't understand sanctification. See, there's a sanctification that has to happen when you're born again. It has to happen. Jesus said in John 3 that you must be born again. If you have him, if you've accepted him by faith, you have a Holy Spirit in you. You have been born again. It comes by faith. But see, the way I was raised, it was by faith, but yet you had these two natures inside of you fighting one another. Well, I was in trouble. I was in trouble because what happens when you have this white dog and this black dog fighting, you believe you have two natures, and whatever one you feed the most, well, then you become legalistic, and it's not a relationship anymore. Now you're just doing this to try to get this other dog that's a good boy to get bigger and stronger to devour the other one. And now you're not in a relationship. Now you're just doing what you can do and what you need to do. And it just becomes law and doing these things to try to keep ahead of a dog that's dying. But it's still there and it's chasing, it's nipping at your feet. And it's going to have you if you don't keep doing these things in order to feed this dog. So that's one reason. I believe that. So I spent a lot of time in prayer and fasting. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with that. But I can tell you that my life changed radically without nothing to do with prayer and fasting. It was first positional. Your positional place in him cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. It can only be changed or received by faith. So now when you pray or fast, you're doing that from a different position. You're already accepted by him, so you're doing it to say, Lord, I want to quiet myself before you. I want you to speak to me. I want you to lead and guide me. It's not to make him think any higher of you at all. He loves you as much now as he's ever going to love you, saints, regardless of what you do or don't. So as I said, yes, and so as I said, so I did spend a couple years not opening a Bible for 2 years. Once I realized grace, saints, I'm telling you, I did not open a Bible for 2 years. You say, why, Chad? That's sacrilegious. Well, I didn't understand them yet. I said, God, until I know that you accept me for who I am, outside of anything, I cannot go on doing these acts of religion anymore. And it took 2 years. So when I told Pastor Lee that, I didn't know what he'd say to me. He said, Chad, what I'm going to tell you right now, others would tell you this is heresy, but I'm telling you it's okay. Just come to church. So I just came to church every time the doors were open. I got to know people. And then 2 years into it, all of a sudden I say, Lord, you love me for who I am. I begin to open up his word. And he began to reveal things of his goodness and love for me. I started seeing the book of Isaiah in a whole different way. I started seeing his word in a whole different way. I started to see his love for me. I started seeing who I was in him. I realized that, Lord, you love me right where I'm at. What a good, good father he is, saints. What's hard for some people, maybe if you haven't had a good father or haven't had a good upbringing, I'm here to tell you that he loves you passionately, that he shed every blood on his cross for your sins, that he took a beating, he took stripes upon his back for the healing of my body and my soul and my mind in the name of Jesus. Oh, how he loves you and I, saints. Right where you're at in your situation, you cannot fix yourself. You cannot make yourself better till he'll accept you. That is not the way it works. First is he accepts me where I am. This sanctification that comes, that he died for me, bled for me, and I have a position in him that is secure from the minute I accept him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I can't help it. It gets me fired up what he's done in my life. Oh, how he loves you and I. So now the things that I do now are a whole different light. Spending time in the Word or fasting or anything, man. It just says, Lord, I just want more of you. I want to hear more from you. Nothing to do with, can you, Lord, I want to earn your favor. It does not work that way. It'll just lead you into religiosity. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's read a couple of these scriptures. So sanctified. You could say also when he says in that 1 Corinthians 1:2, it says, to those who have been sanctified. He could have said this, to those who have been made pure, to those who have been made holy, their position in the Lord. Then you go on and see their behavior and it doesn't make sense. And so you're like, well, what's going on here? Well, let's continue on. Hebrews 10. Let me read a few scriptures real quickly so we can move on. Hebrews 10:8-10. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and offerings for sin you have not desired. So the writer of Hebrews is actually quoting from Psalms 40, King David. You have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Verse 9, then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. This is Jesus. Didn't he do the will of the Father? Amen. He takes away the first, that's the law, that was what was before, that was how they were justified. The Israelites, us as that were Greeks or outside of Israel, had no hope of righteousness. Amen? Had no hope. And he says, then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second, the new covenant. By this will, we have been what? Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once and for all time. Sanctified positionally by the blood of the Lamb. Washed by His Spirit. Washed by His Word. Washed by the truth. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Sanctification. Do you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in his death, his burial, his resurrection? Do you believe he's coming again for you? Do you believe that his blood has washed all your sins away? Then you have a positional sanctification that belongs to you right now. When you realize that, then anything the enemy comes against you with, you can say, sorry. See, what the enemy, what he tries to do is to convince you that you have no place with God. That you're not secure in him. That you've blown it once too many times. That you blew it for 20 years. Well, I know about that. So do some of you, by the way. So once you know who you are in him, then you have this confidence saying, Lord, I've got some struggles now, but I'm trusting you. I'm going to grow in you. When you have a newborn baby, they belong to you. You're the mom or the dad, amen? You don't get rid of them when they're trying to walk and they fall and skin their knee, do you? You don't say, what's wrong with you? Why can't you walk? By the way, you're riding a bicycle tomorrow. Why can't you write? Why can't you read and write? I know you're only 3 years old, but why can't you read and write? What's wrong with you? But some of us think that God treats us that way. Yeah. We think God treats us that way. We'll give other people pass, but for somehow we think this God who's looking down with us with a rod ready to beat on you. No, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I said his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Amen. Psalms 23. Did I got the Psalms right? I thought you guys would know that one. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Number two point under that, under numeral number one. You became the temple of the Holy Spirit when you were born again. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, real quick. Or do you know, or do you not know that your body, which is my body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. For you have been bought for a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Thank you, Jesus. Man, he lives in me. He is big in me. He's even big in me on Monday morning. Amen. Every hour of the day, he is big in me, whether I realize it or not. I don't let my emotions tell me if he's big in me or not. I learned a long time ago, those emotions can get me in trouble. I don't go by those feelings. The just shall live by faith. Amen. Also, you have an anointing. You're not working to get an anointing. You already have an anointing. Amen. Point number three. Under numeral number one, you have an anointing, the power or marking of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. 1 John 2, 20 and 21. But you are working for an anointing. That must be a different version. What version is it? Oh, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know, the Holy One, and you all know, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Let this rest that his anointing is in you. It's like this, the anointing is like that oil in the Old Testament. They would pour over the priest, or they would smudge. See, now for you and us, the anointing is a representation of the Holy Spirit. So I have this smudging, this Holy Spirit. In the Spirit right now, oil is just all over my head and coming down my face and down my shirt. That anointing is by faith now. That's the Holy Spirit in me. So when I go in and I go through that door, the anointing goes everywhere you and I go. Amen? That's where the anointing is. Amen? His anointing being with you always. See, when you're around people and you have that anointing, the darkness senses the anointing. So that's sometimes why some people, you haven't even done anything wrong and they don't like you. They can't tell you why, but they say, I don't like that person. Well, what they're saying is, I don't like the light in that person because I'm walking in darkness. And darkness has nothing to do with light. And there are others that will be drawn to it. They know what it is, but there's something in that says, come to the light, come to the light, come to the light, come to the light, right? Amen? Come to the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another. See, in this room, it's really bright. It's so bright, you know the next phase? I got to wear shades, right? It's brighter than this light that's hitting me on the forehead right now. Sorry about that, guys. But I don't want to wear makeup. You know, that stage makeup, that's what I'm saying. I shouldn't even have said that, huh? I just noticed people on TV wear a lot of makeup, whether they have hair or not. You know, I want to say this example of justification. I just want to give a quick example of King David's life. See, David, what did he start out with? He started out being anointed or sanctified to be king. King, his sanctification was being kings. Matter of fact, you and I, according to Revelation, we're kings and priests. Hallelujah. This morning we were worshiping, we were giving a sacrifice of praise. Amen? Amen. I love that. I love the worship. So in this one, it's under letter A, if you're taking notes. David is anointed as king first step of sanctification. 1 Samuel 16:13 says, "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel set out and went to Ramah." So in the mind of God, David had been anointed king. He was king. He had been sanctified, set apart. And his family knew about it. He'd been anointed king. But there went a sanctification process in his life for some time. We're going to read about it. God says, "I'm not going to make the same mistake that I did with Saul." Saul was the king after the flesh. See, that's what the people of Israel wanted. But when God rejected Saul, then when God said, "I want a king, it's after my heart." See, the first king, the people wanted to have the one that looked the best in the flesh or whatever. And it got him in a mess. So even though he was king for like 42 years, Saul, God during that time said, "This is my king right here." He was already sanctified. And then he went through a process of growing in the Lord. And you know, in our lives, God, in the second step I'll talk about, we always have an opportunity to grow. We're always growing in him. The wonderful thing is when you live with the Spirit of God inside of you, it's saying, "We're going to grow in him. You're mighty in me. You're going to rest in me and rest in my goodness. And you're going to know that I bring you through every situation." And then God can, he gets to where he says, "Man, I could trust this individual with anything, man. They're rooted and grounded in me. They're trusting in me." Amen. The second, numeral number two. So mind you, King David, he was anointed king, but it took some time. It was years till he actually became king. Second is this experiential sanctification. That is what is produced in our lives before the world. The use of the word sanctification in daily life is found more often than the work of sanctification Jesus did for us at the moment our salvation was positionally, we were positionally sanctified. Where positional sanctification is ours instantaneously, cannot be increased, and is eternal, experiential sanctification should be ever increasing and is only necessary during our natural life. Where positional sanctification occurs in our spirit, experiential sanctification takes place in our soul realm. Paul calls it the renewing of our mind. You know this scripture, don't you? Romans 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." His will is good, his will is acceptable, and his will is perfect. And see, until you become born again, that God writes his laws in your mind and your heart, and he gives you this new heart, you can't grow in him. Until you're born again, you can't grow in spiritual things because you don't have a spiritual mind. You only have a mind after the flesh. See, religion will teach you to have a mind after the flesh, meaning do it on your own effort. You got to try harder. If God's not going to be happy with you until you get these things situated in your life, and then what happens is people lose their confidence and eventually just give up. I am convinced that there's a lot of people that we see out there who love God. We could be judging them. They love God. And they love God with all their hearts. But what they believe keeps them from coming to him. They think, "I have to do all these things first, and then I can come into the light." No, come into the light and allow him to change you. I said, come into the light and allow him to change you. He's the one that'll do the changing. But religion says no. Now, there's another side of it. I was with somebody that doesn't go here that I know very well. So there's another side of that. And there's somebody who's never grown in the Lord. They have salvation, but they're still on milk. They just don't grow in the Lord. And so I was concerned about some of the people. This is Paul, said bad company corrupts good character. And so I started talking about them. I said, "Hey, you need to be careful with who you're hanging out with. And you're taking on their the world psychology." And they said, no, grace says I can do whatever I want. I said, no, that's not what it brings us out of darkness. And they became offended at me as I would not defend what they were doing. I said, no, that's not true. And that person at some point I felt like had known that. But what happens when you believe lies or you get involved with people with corrupt character, or they take this thing of grace and says, I can do whatever I want and there's no consequences. That's not grace, saints. But see, on the flip side is to get out of these things of darkness, what Paul talks about being works of the flesh that we'll read about, you've got to come into the light. Come into the light as he is in the light. Amen? I said amen. It's quiet now. You guys, all of a sudden, you guys, I'm losing you. I can tell. Come on back. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4. Read a few scriptures here. Talking about the renewing of your mind and the results of what happens. Now, this is Paul preaching, right? Amen. He's talking to the Thessalonians. He says, finally then, brothers and sisters, we request and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received instruction from us as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, then you that you excel even more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now he's talking about this walking out sanctification. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. We live in a society where sexual immorality is running rampant. I want to say this. God loves sex between a man and a woman and a husband and a wife. That's how God designed it, saints. That hasn't changed. I just want to tell you, he loves you, but that's, I'm reading what Paul said. The one who started this revelation of grace. And so when I met with this person I just talked about, it was on this subject, and they became offended with me when I said that that God still loves sexual purity. Well, he doesn't. I'm in grace now. But that's not what it means. So that meeting did not end good. I still love that person. I'll still reach out to that person. I'm still believing God will do good things. The bloodhound of heaven, he's always wooing and calling and seeking people. God didn't give up on that person. I'm certainly not going to. Do you love him, saints? Amen. Amen. This is Paul. Verse 2, verse 4, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no one violate the rights and take advantage of his brother or sister in this matter. Talking about sexual purity. Because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you previously and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in sanctification. Did you hear that, saints? And honor. Not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no one violate the rights and take advantage of his brothers. I'm sorry, I read that. Verse 7, for God has not called us for impurity, but in sanctification. Verse 8, therefore, the one who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives the Holy Spirit. The sanctification, calling us out of his darkness into his life. See, when you've got a positional place with him, knowing that you're born again, then your heart says, God, I'm following you. I'm pursuing you. And things that are in my life that are not pleasing to you, help me. If you have an attitude saying, oh, I can do this myself, roll up my sleeves here. I've learned. That's a recipe for disaster. But when God shows you the truth, see, he says, Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought grace and truth. Grace and truth. His grace reveals truth to me. I walk in his grace, his love, his goodness. It reveals truth on what's right and wrong. It reveals truth about what he thinks about healing. It reveals truth about what he thinks about blessing me financially. There's all these truths that belong to me, including saying, Lord, what pleases you and doesn't please you as far as how I live my life. And he's the one that gives you the victory through grace. Hallelujah. It's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. That's the scripture. And don't allow condemnation. If you're allowing to, I've come to realize that if there's condemnation, it's because you have believed the lie of the enemy, or you refuse to grow up and you just want to throw a fit. It's like when saying to my dad, saying, I want the keys to the car. No, you're not ready for it. I just start throwing a fit. I'll do what I want. I don't want to be one that's in grace, but saying, I'll do what I want. Didn't fly with my dad. Thank God. Anybody ever had a dad like that too? Says, you said, I'll do what I want, and you found out that it doesn't quite work that way? Thank you, Jesus, for good dads. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've come to find out sometimes people with grace, they're saved, they're born again, but they're not willing to mature. So when you bring up things, they're going to throw a fit. Don't allow condemnation to come in. God, and this stuff doesn't happen overnight. We see these things that we read about, and we think, okay, tomorrow my mind will be perfect, and everything, all my struggles will be gone. No, this is growing. When you were young, you didn't learn to walk in one day. You didn't learn to ride a bicycle. You didn't learn to drive. Some of us still can't drive. I've been behind some of you. Don't be one that throws a fit. Humble yourself. Say, Lord, I want everything in my life in the soulish realm to be pleasing. It brings forth more fruit in our life. See, God wants to bless us with more, but sometimes there's got to be the maturity there. An immature person is not going to be the CEO of a company, right? Now, you can be immature and be in politics, but that's a different subject. Hey, by the way, we're going to have Amory Ward here on April 8th, 10th. Has anybody heard of her, Amory Ward? Running for state senate. This gal has a dynamic testimony. Wow, she's amazing. I wish more guys had guts like her. Raised on a ranch in South, there's a picture of her and her husband right there. So I said, when you come, make sure your husband wears his cowboy hat. She says he never takes it off. He ain't taking that hat off just to come in this church. I said, well, he's got to have his hat on. We need to see more cowboy hats, by the way. Hallelujah! In every other type of hat, too. I don't care if you got your hat on sideways. Right? God loves us all. We want the church makes up every type of person, right? It even said, Paul even said barbarics. Didn't he say barbarics? Barbarians. Barbarians, excuse me. So, he loves barbarians. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love barbarians. I don't know. That could be code name for cowboy. I don't know. I want to go to another Colossians 3, 8 through 10. Therefore, treat the parts of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Did you hear that? The sons of the lost. They live any way they want, so there's not going to be any consequences. But it's appointed unto man wants to die, and then he stands before God. But you and I standing before him, and we have, what's our plea before him? I believed 100% in your sacrifice, your precious son. Amen? I don't know about you, but he's going to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant, coming into everlasting life. Because I belong to him. That's not being prideful. It's being saying, Lord, I'm allowing you to lead my life. Mistakes and all, warts and everything. Amen. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, and in them you also walked when you were living in them, but now you also rid yourselves of all of them, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. We're made in the image of God as he reveals himself to us, as he gives us true knowledge. See, there's a knowledge that the world pursues that they know nothing about. But when you're born again, part of the knowledge is saying, God, I want my outward appearance to reflect you, what Jesus walked like when he was on this earth. Amen? And it doesn't happen overnight. Don't read this like tomorrow. It's got to happen. Man, it took Abraham a lifetime. So when he finally put his son on that altar, he said, I know he'll raise him from the dead. He couldn't have done that the minute God called him out of his family and followed God. He couldn't have done that. But as he saw God's faithfulness over a 25-year period, and he had his son when his wife's womb was dead, and he was well past the age of being prime, and when they had that promise, he realized then, I don't care what God asked me, I know he can raise the dead. Amen. But my point is these things take time, day by day, not giving up at all, saying, God, I'm getting to wherever you're leading me. And sometimes you're wondering where he's leading you. Abraham wondered that. But he'll be faithful. He'll be faithful to put desires in your heart. The desires he put in my heart, saints, were nothing like they were when I was in my 20s or my 30s or my 40s. As God began to put new desires in my heart, he is faithful to do the things that he puts in your heart. But it's going to require us continue to grow in him. To grow in him. He's leading us in places that he wants us to go, but he's saying, come on, grow in me. I can't put yours. If you're still on milk, he can't, and you don't take meat in yet, he can't give you what he wants to. He has it in mind. He sees it. But he's saying, come on, grow in me. Trust me. Let my grace grow you up. Sanctification. Thank you, Jesus. And you don't take that with any type of condemnation. I've been reading what God says, what God's word says. He doesn't give it to you for condemnation. He gives it to you to encourage you and says, this is how I want you to walk. This is how I want you to look. He wrote those in here for a reason, to encourage these different churches. Let the word of God encourage you today, saints. This is talking about growing in God's character as you mature in him. Saints, as I said, we're not perfect. As we renew our mind, we begin to walk out these things that Paul in Galatians 5 talks about, works of the flesh. They start dropping off as you trust him. They quit having hold of you. He starts teaching about what it looks like, what it means to be dead to sin and alive unto him. I could explain that till I was blue in the face, but until he reveals that to you, until it's a revelation to you, because when things come against you, you say, there's no way. I'm not going there anymore. I'm done with that. I'm my path is this way. So the thing you struggled with last year, in a year from now, you're saying, I'm not walking that anymore. Amen. Growing up in him. And then it says, and then you begin to develop the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit. Trusting him. Walking with him day by day. His Holy Spirit cultivates our hearts. And it's the fruit of the Spirit comes forth. Amen? It says, so as those, Colossians 3, 12 through 6, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you must do also. Amen. In addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. It's the perfect bond of unity in a marriage. It's a perfect bond of unity in a church family. It's a perfect bond of unity with those you work with, etc. God's love. Amen. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ to which you were indeed called in one body rule in your hearts. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Man, the word of God is powerful to change hearts. In other words, he's given you a new heart, but he begins to plant these things. And then the fruit of the word, the fruit of his Holy Spirit starts to manifest in our lives. Amen? You begin to respond differently. You begin to think differently. You begin to trust him. Even in hard situations, you start saying, God, you got this. This is a perfect opportunity for my God to show off on my behalf. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He loves to show off on our behalf, saints. He really does. He loves to show that he has our back. He's got our back. And he's leading us. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. See, also the word is even here, says you see the word continually as you listen to the word, as you study the word, or you're allowing the word to affect you, it's constantly sanctifying you and washing you. Ephesians 5:25-26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. I just threw that one in there for you ladies. Okay? That one's free. 26, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Would you allow the word to wash over you today? Would you allow the word to encourage you today? Would you allow the Spirit of God to encourage you and maybe to challenge you? Amen? To challenge you? This is what it is. It's always this. It's not to challenge you to do more. It's to challenge you to trust him. It's to challenge you to trust him. As he the one that, as you are in the middle of every struggle in your life, trust him to be the one to make the change. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't turn around. Go backwards. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy that he doesn't love you. Oh, no, you've already been purchased. You're sanctified. You belong to him, right? You've got your positional sanctification, and now we're working these things out as we grow in him. As the soil of your heart, the seed of the word of God, and he waters it with his Holy Spirit, and all these fruits come forward. As the gifting that he's placed in your life begins to come forth as you mature. You know, God has a vision, and regardless of your age or where you've been, God has a purpose for your life. I've said this many times. Unless people realize that God has a purpose for their life, they stay where they're at. But when you have purpose, I mean, he made us for purpose. When you realize you have purpose, you start pursuing it. We were made with purpose. Everybody was made for purpose. If you don't think he has any purpose for your life, you'll just stay where you're at. All these people's dear to me, all these drug addiction programs that they have. Many times when you go in there, I've said this many times, they'll say, 93% of you is not going to make it. If you don't have a purpose, you can't make it. I don't care what you're involved in. When you realize God has a purpose for your life, man, and you run for it, there's nothing that can hold you back. And there's nothing that can hold you back. Allow God to speak in your heart and life about purpose. The Holy Spirit to start to speak to you about purpose. He wants to talk to you. There's been times before, and I remember Pastor Lee, we preaching this. I'll be in a worship service, and out of nowhere, all of a sudden I'll see a picture or something about my life, the future. What was that? What did I eat for dinner? And then maybe a few weeks later, a few months or whatever, boom, I'll see that picture again. Yeah. It wasn't the pizza the night before. It was the Lord. He wants to give you pictures. He wants you to be going, you're already saved, you're all born again. And when you have a picture of what he can do in your life, you say, nothing's going to hold me back. These things of this world here that are holding me back, this stuff that easily besets me, I'm going to get rid of it because I know he's got a path for me. Purpose will say, nothing will hold me back, saints. It's okay to say, Lord, show me purpose in my life. And it can be, there's little things right now, a purpose that can be purposeful. My grandkids are purposeful. And there's no bigger purpose in my life than my wife. Sorry, it's scriptural. My number one ministry is my wife. That's a purpose for me. So I don't let nothing get in the way of that. I don't let any of my immaturities keep me back. I said, I'm going to grow up in these areas. And guess what you do? And you become a better husband, a better spouse, a better friend, whatever it is. As you start seeing it, say, I have purpose in these areas of my life, God, and nothing's going to hold me back. The grace of God is going to, that's been a shed abroad in my heart, is saying, come on out of this stuff. You are one powerful Jose. Amen. You guys a powerful Jose? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for purpose, Father. I mean, keep working. Well, let me keep going because I have the scriptures there. John 17, 16 and 17 says, and this is Jesus talking to his Father, they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So the sanctification process, he continue reveals his word to you. It's aha, that's what that's talking about. Thank you, Lord, for revealing that to me. That'll help me in my walk with you. Revelation, amen? So this is B for King David experiential sanctification. See, he was anointed king of Israel, right? This says in 1 Samuel 18, 28 and 29, when Saul, 1 Samuel 18, 28 and 29, when Saul saw and realized that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, then Saul was even more afraid of David, so Saul was David's enemy continually. See, he realized the anointing on his life. The enemy realizes the anointing on your life. And because he knew he had purpose, this is the reason for purpose. That everything he went through, he realized then that it was the enemy coming against him. It wasn't God's doing. He said, man, God, you've given me a purpose. You've shown me. I've been anointed. I'm already anointed. I'm not trying to get anointed. I am anointed. And so as he went through these battles where the enemy tried to take him out, he refused to give up or give in because he already knew he was anointed. He already knew what was on the inside of him. He already knew what he had. Saul tried to kill him over and over and over and over and over again. He refused to take things into his own hands. Remember that? Could have killed that dude many times. He refused to be vindictive. He refused to be unforgiving. He refused to be hateful. And he says, God, I know you got a purpose and you're going to bring it to pass. Not me, you are. And so because he knew his purpose of the things that he went through, he says, man, I know God's got something for me. It's no different than Joseph in prison. He says, man, I know those dreams and visions God gave me were for me. And I don't know how I ended up in prison here, but somehow you're going to get me out. Even when it doesn't look like anything's going to happen, I know you got purpose, so I'm going to continue to worship and praise you and be faithful to you because you're the one that's going to get me out of this dark dungeon. And I'm telling you, if you're in a dark dungeon right now, only he can set you free. Trust him to come out of any dungeon in your life because he loves you. Oh, how he loves you and I. He has died to set us free from every captivity. There's nothing that he can't set you free from. And believe that your kids and your grandchildren are coming in. Amen. They belong to the Lord. As for me and my house, they shall serve the Lord. Come hell or high water. Come hell or high water, they're coming back. They may get pulled through a knothole backwards, but they're not going to lose any limbs. They're not going to die. They're going to declare the glory of God. Hallelujah. I've had times where I've learned that while I would become discouraged about things. And then I would kind of just sit back and kind of get mad at God. Thank God he didn't leave me. I just learned, I said, I'm not doing that again. Because then you start reaping what you sow. And he's so faithful to say, hey, I've been here the whole time. I haven't left you. Quit sowing over there, man. You don't need that. Start sowing in goodness. Start sowing in declaring the words of God. Declaring my truth. Declaring my love for you and your family. Start sowing those things. And I've learned saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. Already seeing the fruit. You too, you'll see the fruit. Just continue to sow in righteousness, it says, and reap the fruit of unfailing love. Hallelujah. Just keep sowing in kindness. Keep declaring the word of God. He is for you and not against you. You are the head and not the tail. Amen. You're a child of the King. Amen and amen. That's some good preaching, I think. Numeral number 3. The ultimate sanctification. So we have that positional sanctification. Then we have that thing where we grow in him in our soulish realm, renewing our mind. determining we're going to trust in the Lord regardless of how we feel, what we see, or what we hear. Growing up in Him, amen? Let me tell you something. This is very important because I hear this and I've experienced myself. When you fall or you make a mistake, you don't have to start over. Thank you for forgiving me. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, with your blood. Lord, only you can change me. Lord, thank you. Let the renewing of your word change my thoughts, my attitudes. You don't have to start over. He's not making you go back to do not go, do not collect $200. He's not putting you back at the starting blocks. And he's your father. Those are some of the times where you can actually mature. You say, Lord, here I go, right here. I'm not going backwards. You're not mad at me. I'm repenting. I'm learning and I'm growing and keep going forward. That's what God wants with us. Third is ultimate sanctification. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also eagerly wait. We also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 21. Who will transform the body of our lowly condition into conformity with his glorious body by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Someday this flesh will be gone. I understand in the scripture says that my heart and my flesh, that David, I said, cry out to the living God, but it's also the same flesh that says, Bathsheba, bring her to me. You can't trust this flesh to me. It's like, Lord, well, I believe what Romans 6 says, man, I am dead to sin. And with this body and this flesh cry out and crave, and I know it's not right, I said, I'm dead to this. I'm alive unto him. And then when you give up and give in those areas, just talk to the Lord. He knows. Don't give up or think that he's cast you away, rejected you. No, he wants you to draw closer to him. He wants you to. He will give you the victory. Whatever it is, he will give you. I am telling you, if you don't allow the enemy to trick you, the victory is yours. I said, the victory is yours. The enemy wants to think, well, you're not in right position with God. And then if he gets you off of that, then no telling what you'll do because now you have no confidence. What about David, King David? Now it's at the end of his life. First Kings, as the worship team comes, please. Thank you. 1 Kings 1, 28, 29. Then King David answered and said, call Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. Did you see Bathsheba? And the king took an oath and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress. Did you hear that? That's the same Bathsheba that he had her husband killed. And that baby died, and they get those. That'll work. The same Bathsheba who committed adultery, David had her husband killed. Then he tried to cover it up, but then he repent. And then that baby dies, right? And they get married, and who's the next child? Solomon. I don't get that, do you? God's grace and mercy. And it says God loved that baby. God loved that baby. And then the next thing he says after that, he says, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress. Wow, at the end he could say that, saints. Saints, do you trust him to redeem your life? All the things that he did wrong, God redeemed that. I don't understand. That shouldn't have happened. By the law, he should have been stoned to death. He should have lost his kingship. I mean, what did Saul ever do? Was that bad? But his understanding, I'm telling you, it was his understanding of grace. Isaiah 40 says, you've opened my eyes and my ears. He says, you don't desire bulls and goats. He said, you don't desire that. He said, I understand your grace. You've opened my ears. You want a relationship with your people. And then that was finally through Jesus Christ. When he was on that cross, he said, it is finished. And a new covenant took its place where all of Israel, and then us Gentiles were invited to be justified freely by his grace. For by grace are you saved, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saints, I invite you as we stand up. These areas, justification, your position on when you accepted Christ. These things that right now as you grow in him, remain confident in your Savior. Amen. That he's growing you in him. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. And then some days, man, we're getting a new body. Amen. Some of us are saying, yeah, I'm getting a new body. Woohoo! So that should give us a reason to rejoice in him, saints. That should give us a reason to praise his name and to love him, to be confident in his love for us. Amen. That where I stand with him, being justified freely by his grace. Amen. His sanctification at the foot of the cross, and then me growing in him, knowing that he is with me. Amen. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. Do you love him today? As we sing a song, let me just read this. You have time for a few more scriptures. I'm just going to read. Thank God you love the Word of God. Colossians 2, 8 through 14. See to it that there's no one who takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, in accordance with human tradition, in accordance with the elementary principles of the world, rather than in accordance with Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, Jesus. And in him you have been made complete. Did you see that? In him you have been made complete, and he is the head of every ruler and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision performed without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And when you were dead in your wrongdoings and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our wrongdoings. Did you hear that? All my wrongdoings.
Yes.
Having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against me, the King James says, handwritten requirements. Having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which were hostile to us, toward us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Mm-hmm. Having nailed every sin to the cross. Having nailed every sin to the cross. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for that today. Lord, we thank you that you want us to walk in confidence with you. Lord, thank you that you have called everybody in this room to be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And the word of your testimony, the word of the testimony saying, this is what he did. This is what his blood accomplished for me. Father, we thank you for that today. Thanks. I just ask as we sing this song to dismiss, just say, Lord, I just receive your mercy and your grace. Just receive it. Say, Lord, I want everything that you have for me. If you've canceled the debt against me that was written in the code of the law and they were nailed to the cross, and I've received that, Lord, that I want everything that you have for me in this lifetime to glorify God, to extol his goodness. Amen. If you need, we're going to have some people up here for prayer. If you need prayer, if you haven't accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, I want you to know that he loves you. I would love to pray for you. Or if you need prayer for anything else, please come forward. But I invite you just to receive for him right where you're at. I mean, it's right here, guys. You don't need this. You don't necessarily need this. He loves you. A personal relationship. Amen. Father, we thank you for blessing you this week. Thank you for an outstanding Monday. Thank you, Lord, that Monday is our favorite day of the week. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your peace. Father, we thank you that you're working mightily in us this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen.
I just want to speak again, Jesus.